The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary, and all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on track and use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forsino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Good evening and happy Monday. I'm Victoria Riva De Nera, president of the Northeast Division for Exit Realty Corp International and licensed real estate broker in New York State for the past 25 years. I'm a member of the National Association of Realtors and many other associations, and I'd like to welcome you to the Real Estate Revolution. The real estate industry is going through a movement of change, and we want to deliver to you the very best and latest information so you, the consumer, can make the most informed decisions when buying, selling, or investing in real estate. I'm here tonight in a real man cave. Definitely a real man cave. There's a lot of testosterone in this little studio right now. I have seven men in this room here with me. Poor me. But I am here with my co-host, Scott Forsino, and our guest host, Chris Henwood, who's a licensed attorney and loan officer for Movement Mortgage in the Northeast region. Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started today.
Thank you, Victoria. I'm very happy to be here tonight with these mortgage professionals. I am an associate broker with Exit Realty Group in Elmsford, New York. Been a broker for about 19 years, practiced law for over 23. My career has been real estate. I'm happy that we've gone through that downturn and we're on the road to recovery. I'm happy to be aligned with mortgage professionals like these who know the business and know the upcoming changes.
Awesome. Well, today's topic is about the changes that are taking place in the mortgage world beginning on October 3rd. But before we dive into TILA and RESPA and TRID and all the good stuff, I have a question for you. What's the color of the front door of your house?
It is green.
Green? I don't know if I know what green stands for. Maybe I do. Actually, when you have a green front door, they say that you have traditional values. It could also be associated with money. Did you know that?
I didn't know either, but I like that.
Yeah, I figured you would. I figured that. Well, the reason I brought this up, they had an article that I read recently that said red doors are believed to be a sign of abundance. Mm. But did you know that there's a Scottish tradition that says if they pay off their mortgage in Scotland, they paint their door red?
That's, I guess, being in the red or being in the black, I guess.
I have no idea where it came from, but could be. Could
being
be.
Red's usually
yeah.
Bad.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
You
want to be in the black.
Exactly.
Speaking of black, what do you think a black door would stand for?
Maybe some serious tragic, like a death?
Yeah, that's what I thought too, but no. Order and control.
I see.
Someone who likes that control usually will have a black
door. King of the castle.
Yeah, king of the castle. Right. So what does a white door stand for?
Freedom?
Simplicity.
Simplicity. Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Any other colors you want to know? How can I enlighten your day?
Blue. I bet you there's some blue.
Blue. I do have blue. That the homeowner seeks peace and values the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Like the Pacific, that's the calm ocean, right?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. You know, they say that there's a lot about numbers, too. Numbers and addresses.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best number you can have on your house?
Seven.
No, that's not the answer. But
I
it's a good
seven
guess.
Too.
Eight.
Eight.
They say eight is a number of abundance, of luck. It's usually associated with money.
I think that's in the Asian
success.
Culture, if we know that.
That is absolutely where right. It comes from.
I knew that.
Yes, the Chinese in particular. You know, what's the number that the Chinese will stay away from? Do you know?
13.
Yes, but there's a number before 13. 13 because it adds up to the number that I've...
Oh, four?
Four, yes. Wow. The number four is a sign of bad luck for them. They will stay away from a house with the number four on it.
My house is 400.
Number 13. Is that right?
With a green
that
door.
That could be a problem. There are local markets where if there's a house with the number four, it will actually sell for less. There have been studies done, particularly in an Asian community.
Interesting.
Interesting, right? I thought that was interesting.
Well, that's the world meets local real estate.
Yes. Yeah. If you say so. What's our topic today?
Our topic is the is the upcoming changes in the mortgage closing regulations, otherwise known as the TRID. We'll let Chris let us know what that stands for and where, from this these new regulations from where they stem.
Sure, Scott. So TRID is just an acronym, and it means TILA-RESPA Integrated Disclosures. And it's a new system put in place by the CFPB.
What's the CFPB?
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Helping out consumers, right.
They're basically charged with being in control and regulating everything that a consumer's money touches. And obviously real estate being some of the biggest things that consumers' money will touch in most consumers' lifetime. So they took a look at the mortgage system the way it was being run now, and there's kind of a confusing set of documents that currently exist. They looked to streamline the process and came up with a way that they integrated the ID part of it, the disclosure statements that consumers will see when they go to buy a house. So initially they'll receive a loan estimate, which will then kind of give them all the information about the loan that they've applied for. And then when they go to close, they'll get a closing disclosure document. Now, the two documents, this is where it's really cool for consumers. The two documents look almost identical. So all the information you get at the beginning of the process is displayed in the same format that you get at the end of the process. So every consumer can take both pieces of paper, put them side to side, and make sure that they got the loan that they thought they were getting when they entered the process. And I think that's a good thing for consumers. It's very transparent.
So, Chris, you said that some of the forms were changed. So there used to be something called a good faith estimate.
Correct.
And a HUD-1.
Yes.
Is that still in existence?
Well, they're going to be rolled into these new documents. So they're currently in existence, but they're going to be phased out for any purchase that is initiated or any loan application that's initiated after October 30.
The good faith estimate in the past was just that. It was an estimate.
That was your kind of first exposure that the consumer would see in terms of what documentation they would get about the loan they were about to enter into.
Okay, but the estimate that they're giving now in the new documentation is a little bit different. It's a little bit more...
A little more involved, yes. There's some new information on there. That's what the loan estimate, the first piece of the puzzle, will replace the good faith estimate. So, and there's a lot of estimates in there, but... one of the items on there will be the amount of interest that's paid as a percentage of the overall amount of money that's repaid. So consumers can see how much interest they're paying over the life of a 30-year mortgage.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's a high number for sure, you know, but if they looked and did the math themselves, they'd arrive at the same number. So it's not like it was ever hidden before, but it's now just spelled out a little more clearly.
And a little bit more accurately, too.
Yes, well, the tolerances for accuracy, well, I mean, yes and no, because what the documents are kind of codifying and instituting are really kind of some of the same rules that are already in place. Because if you change the annual percentage rate on a loan over a certain amount already, you need to go through a redisclosure. And these documents just make that redisclosure clearer and easier for the borrower to see.
Why? Why did they change this?
I think that when you look at all of the disclosures that a borrower gets when they enter into a mortgage, there's a slew of documentation that comes. And that's by law. We have to disclose all these facts and figures to them. Now, that can get confusing to the average consumer as they're going through and just signing stuff and not really reading it. These documents take a lot of that and condense it and combine it and make it kind of very laid out, very logically, in terms of the amount of money you're borrowing, the terms, the interest rate, and it just allows it to be, I think, more easily digested and easier to refer to. So if most people don't have questions right away. They may just say, okay, sign it, get it done, and then they go, wait a minute, let me go back and look. And it's very easy to find all the information necessary on the forms.
So the CFPB basically just wants to make sure that there's no surprises for the consumer.
I think that's it. I mean, you know, this is obviously a product of the mortgage crisis that we all went through back in the, 2006, 2007, 8, 9 was kind of the follow-through. And I think that there were some confusing aspects to it, and I think it's a good thing for consumers. I really think this makes a lot of sense and will help a lot of people understand the process better.
Well, you're talking about transparency, which is great as far as a consumer issue. I think that the biggest issue was in this area where the borrower would have no idea as recently, as soon as maybe a day or so before the closing, because they didn't have the title bill, the bank did not, through its attorneys, get the net proceeds, shall we say, to the buyer's attorney. So through no fault of their own, these buyers are walking around stressing. Maybe their stuff is on the back of a truck. They're making promises through the realtor to the other party. How much money do I need to bring to closing?
Mm-hmm.
I experienced that tons of times, and you know, you really just had to wait to get title numbers. So it yes, avoids surprises, which is a real negative thing, but it also makes it really enables the borrower to have quite a bit of advance notice.
Oh, absolutely. And same as you, Scott, you know, I got into the mortgage business by virtue of being a real estate attorney. So doing closings, I can't tell you how many times we get to the morning of a closing or at the closing table and a new HUD has been issued and we have to go through the signatures on 8 new documents because, you know, the bank changed something at the last minute or there was an issue that had to be addressed. And like you said, that really creates a lot of stress for the consumer because they're trying to get everything lined up. They're trying to move. I mean, moving is one of the 5 most stressful events that any one person will encounter in their life. And that's the crux of what we're doing in a real estate transaction. You're moving from one home into another one. And getting it early, being able to digest what it means, how much money. Okay, where do I get the money from? What accounts am I pulling it from? These are all stressful
part things. I want to say is, in this area, the realtors are not involved in that process. So they love this realtor. They showed them 14 million houses. They know when their kid's birthday is. And they couldn't turn to the realtor because it was simply in the important attorney's hands. The attorneys don't have the title or the net proceeds. Really had no one to turn to. So this advance notice should be a real boon. I think it should make mortgage companies look good, maybe for a change, that they're giving this advance notice.
Well, yeah, and you know, I kind of have to say, I was a little disappointed personally when they moved the October. It was originally supposed to be August 1st. So now they moved it to October 3rd. You know, we as a company have been gearing up for this for months. And I think that's where the real solutions lie. And, you know, our approach is to get these documents prepared as soon as we can in the process or start preparing them so that by the time we get a clear to close from our clearing department, our closing department says, okay, you're clear to close this loan, we're going to be ready to have those documents on there available for the consumer, for the closing agent, and for the attorneys available as well.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to break. If you're a listener and you'd like to join in on the conversation or you have a question, call us at 914-693-5700. That's 914-693-5700.
Since opening up in January 2007, OnTrack Sports Center has facilitated sports training and competitive programs for athletes throughout Westchester and Rockland, supplying 2 turf fields and 2 batting cages. In their 26,000 square foot facility, conveniently located next to the Tarrytown train station, OnTrack Sports has been selected by the New York Red Bulls to host their regional development school. Call 914-909-2974 to find out more about OnTrack's team training, sports instruction, recreation, and competitive programs. That's 914-909-2974.
I never thought I had it in me. I always wanted to do more for my community. It turned out to be one of the best decisions of my life.
Is there a fire in you? Go to www.fireinyou.org and find out what it takes to be a volunteer firefighter, to be the one running in when everyone else is running out. Not only do you get the satisfaction of helping others, but you get free training, tuition assistance, and other great benefits. Take the first step. Volunteer at fireinyou.org.
Brought to you by the Firemen's Association of the State of New York and funded by U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
The real estate revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary. And all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on track. And use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forcino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution. And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. We do have a caller on the line. We are talking about RESPA, TILA, TRID, the changes in the mortgage industry that are coming up on October 3rd. So we do have a caller on the line. Hello, can you hear us?
I can.
Caller? Did we lose our caller?
Hello?
Tatha? Is it Tatha,
yes.
Jordan A?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Hey.
Hey, did you have a question for us?
I did. It was not so much a question, but more of a comment. You know, it sounds like the CFPB has consumers' best interest in mind. But, you know, there's what it looks like on paper, and then there's the actual practical approach. And I'm a closing attorney, and I can tell you that from my own personal experience, when you're talking about stresses of closing and getting to the table and moving, having a three-day wait period from when you get a clear to close or when the you know, documents are actually produced to the actual closing, I think is going to create more stress for the consumer than actually help them. If I have to tell
Alex,
my consumer, if I have to tell my consumer that they have to have all the closing documents.
Taffa, how are you? This is Alex Rivera. I'm with Movement Mortgage. Well, you know, I think the stress lies with, a lot of it has to lie with the institution, the lending institution that you're dealing with as well. It all depends on how well they're prepared. If you have an institution that is setting the expectation for the borrower as far as what's needed ahead of time, and you're working with borrowers that are providing the items that are required, you're going to find that if you have a good platform, if the institution has a good processing and underwriting platform, a lot of the loans are actually going to be prepared and are going to be clear to close sometimes weeks ahead of time. So having the document, having the figures prepared for the closing should not be an issue. Now, if you run into a situation where an institution isn't up to par with the processing, then yes, then sometimes you're going to find that the closing is not even actually going to take place on the closing date. It might have to take place after. So a lot of it has to do with how it's set up, how the organization.
The reality is that 99% of the lenders are past the closing date, in my experience. And it has nothing to do, or it might have something to do with the lender themselves, but what it really has to do is the investor. FHA, VA, USDA, they're all really slow. And we're getting, people clear to close up to the date of closing or after the date of closing on the contract. And if I tell my consumer on Monday that I've got the disclosure documents, but guess what? You can't close until Friday. That's going to cause some serious stress for the consumer, because I now can close a loan where I get a clear to close today and I can close it tomorrow. And when I have people that are getting, you know, at the end of their leases and they have no place to live at the end of the month and all of their stuff is in, you know, storage, they don't want to hear about disclosures and they don't want to hear about regulations. They want to hear about when their closing is. And 3 days down the road is not going to be acceptable to most consumers.
Right. So that's where, you know, aligning yourself with the proper institution, one that is a direct lender, one that does underwrite for FHA, VA, USDA directly, is very critical. If you're dealing with institutions that don't do direct lending or direct underwriting, that does slow the process, and you could run into that, you know, run into that wall where you don't get, you know, the documents on time. Aligning yourself with organizations that are prepared for this is going to be very important, not only for the attorneys, for the buyers, for the sellers, for anybody who's looking to do a real estate transaction. And there are institutions that are prepared for these changes already. You know, us at Movement Mortgage have been, you know, doing electronic signatures for years. We're, you know, a lot of our, you know, and I'm not, you know, this isn't an advertisement for Movement Mortgage. It's just talking about a platform that exists that has already been put in place to, you know, allow us to get closing documents, getting a clear to close ahead of time and getting closing documents, sometimes, like I said, weeks before the actual closing. So if, you know, it's going to be important for the real estate agents and it's going to be important for the borrowers to do their due diligence and find the right organization when it comes to applying for a loan.
I would agree. Unfortunately, a lot of times when you have that conversation with consumers early in the process and say, you know, if you don't go with a lender that is good at what they do, your closing process could be slowed down by, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. They sometimes don't hear that. You know, they've got a relative that told them they should go to ABC Mortgage. They have a friend that works there, you know, or something. So there's reasons why they're choosing their mortgage lender, and a lot of times we as attorneys or even real estate agents don't have much say in who they go to. And if we refer too heavily, then we have other issues.
Tatha, hi, this is Scott.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I know you. Well, you know, the point made by Alice, I want to hit this with to give this to Michael. You raised a good point, I think, on top of Alice's point, where the consumer's out there doing their best. They want a home. They don't get all involved in these high-level Capitol Hill issues and legislation and new kind of amendments to existing rules. And what happens in the world I'm concerned about in this new world where the same old realtor refers to the same old mortgage guy or gal in the office that brings the donuts and the sweets and the carbs and the bagels, and they, you know, they do stuff like they did in the 90s, and they may not be set up like a top company like Movement amongst others are. I mean, if that's really setting up for disaster. I want to give Mike this point where the realtors, especially even in an area down like here, which is controlled by lawyers, need to be up on that this is not business as usual. There's a lot of changes. And if you do this, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to have dissatisfied clients, regardless of this awesome best friend who returns the calls right off the beeper immediately. But
the beeper?
Yeah, the beeper. I'm saying they still do stuff off there, right?
Still. Are you still using it?
No, Mike has it. Speaking of beepers, let me give this to Michael. Michael, what do you think about an approach that realtors may have to accept where they can't do business as usual with the referrals?
Right, and great point. And hi, Taffa. This is Mike Brennan. I'm Regional Director for Movement Mortgage. And really kind of to just, you know, expand a little bit on what Alex said is I think we all agree, though, the most important thing and one thing that's probably been lacking, you know, for the consumers and for realtors and the attorneys and all parties concerned is, which is our most important thing, is the first step in the process with us or what should be with any lender is setting the right expectations. You know, so if you tell everybody everybody up front on what the process is going to be, you know, what the turn times are and what's expected of all parties. It might be a little bit of a paradigm shift with the new laws and the new disclosures coming out, but if everybody's on the same page and are up front on what's expected by what time frame, I think it's going to make it a lot easier for it. And we work hand in hand with a lot of our realtor partners and our attorneys as well. I mean, we're almost 90% purchase business, so we understand the frustration. We understand the importance for our client. You know, number two, I think very important is you know, the way that we've always operated our company since 2007 when they started was, you know, we don't underwrite to a closing date. You know, we underwrite to a time period to get the file cleared to close within 7 to 10 business days. And a lot of people these days, and as an attorney, you know, September 14th, you write a contract, maybe the closing date is scheduled for December 1st. So you have a lot of people on all parties will say, okay, well, we don't have to do anything. Let's put that aside until it's getting closer to the closing date. And then it happens to be like this kind of hurry up now and try to get everything done. And then, oops, we forgot something. So, you know, I think if the expectations are set up front, I think if you start the process from day one, which is what our philosophy is as a company, you know, then you're going to alleviate a lot of those problems.
So that's what I think where the realtor comes in, where they cannot just make the referral, step back, cross their fingers and their toes, and then show up in the corner at the closing. They may have to be more involved with not necessarily the right guy, of course, the right person, but continue to stay on top to more effectuate, make this thing happen. You know, we're in an insulated world here. This is not Delaware. This is not Kansas City. We're in a world where the realtors can do much less because the lawyers do everything alongside the lenders and the lenders' attorneys.
Tatha, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I also, you know, think that in states where we do have more lawyer involvement, that the consumer should have the right to waive the three-day periods because they do have legal counsel and they're not just a consumer that's out there on their own. So I think there's some parts of the law that missed, you know, the states that aren't escrow states or non-states that are handled by title companies, they're handled by legal professionals. And it is a little bit frustrating, I know, for, you know, the consumer that is going to be out of their apartment tomorrow and they have three kids and, well, we can't close for 3 days. So there is still a lot of frustration that I can foresee coming with the changes.
Tatha, on to that point, I'm glad you called in. We all have this in New York State or lower New York State, this 30-day crazy, not time of the essence, but this on or about safety net. Do you think that there's even the possibility of any litigation between the parties if they blow a closing date due to maybe being derelict in their duties and getting their stuff to the lender?
I don't think so. I mean, for you have to issue the time as of the essence letter to force it, and then they have 30 days to perform. So, I mean, even if you're with a bad lender, I would think that they could perform within 30 days after, you know, after they've missed a closing date. But maybe.
Chris, did you want to add to that?
Well, I think, Taffy, you raised some very good points, and I've seen closings in New Jersey that have blown way past their dates, and, you know, parties already threatening to sue each other. I think at the end of the day, if everyone kind of steps back, this is a consumer transaction, and for most people, it's the biggest transaction in their lives, and so no one really wants to sue anyone, as I'm sure you've been through many of these. And no one really wants to sue anyone. They want to get in their house or they want to get out of their house and sell their house. And I think just getting all the right parties involved, as you've kind of heard over and over again, is crucial. And maybe working the problem backwards, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, you set your closing date and then when you meet with your client initially, I know I've had this conversation with my clients where you set the expectations. Okay, you know, have you applied for your mortgage? Where are you in the process? Who are you going with? What's the story? Now, that's how I got into the mortgage business, from the real estate law practice. So I get the whole thing, but I think it's an integrated process, and especially in a state like New York, where you have such heavy attorney involvement, you can really – kind of distinguish yourself from your competition in a lot of ways by virtue of being the attorney who sets the expectations, who has their clients kind of lined up and ready to go so you don't miss your closing dates. I think it actually presents an opportunity, and I think that's kind of when all of these changes occur, you can take two approaches. You can say, oh my gosh, we got to change, or you can say, hey, here's an opportunity. How do I distinguish myself in this environment? That's the road we took at Movement Mortgage, was try to distinguish ourselves in front of this change in regulation. And I think it's exciting. I think there's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some headaches. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's good for the consumer.
Okay. Tatha, you still there?
Yes, I am.
How do you feel about that?
I think as a whole that it'll be good for the consumer. I think there is going to be some major bumps in the road because, I applaud Movement Mortgage for getting ahead of the curve, but I don't think that's generally the case with the industry. From what I hear, a lot of the mortgage lenders and people, you know, mortgage brokers even, they're really behind the curve, and they're not prepared for this. So, I'm concerned with, you know, the ones that are behind the curve and how that's going to affect the consumer. And again, at the end of the day, I can't tell my client that they have to go with a particular lender. So I'm going to be, doing the best that I can do and being involved in the process from the beginning and setting the expectations. But at the end of the day, I don't have any control over, the mortgage company that's still doing practices of, you know, thinking that we're still dealing with DCD paper and, you know, all these people that were in the industry back then that just don't have their act together.
I want to ask you. Yes. Chris, let me ask a quick question to Victoria. Victoria oversees a lot of offices and a lot of broker owners and a lot of agents, of course. So, you know, we're sitting here in the studio in this little tiny county, little tiny part of the world. But how are your broker owners, your franchisors, are they yours?
Franchisors,
right.
Right.
Franchisees?
No, they are franchisees.
Right.
We are the franchisor.
Right, exactly. Mortgagee was always confusing. So what are you telling them? I mean, like, we're here, and we're talking about lawyers, and that's not relevant in most of the country. How is the consumer going to know that they have augmented rights, that they now have the right to know before they did not prior have any way of knowing anything for days?
Well, first of all, these changes are lender changes. So it really has nothing to do with the realtor itself themselves. However, having said that, the realtor really has to keep the communication going. And they should understand the forms, and we highly recommend that they understand them, know what the changes are, so that they can answer the questions before the fear takes over for a consumer.
Or maybe equip the clients with the right questions to ask
that too.
The lenders.
Mm-hmm. That too. I think our biggest challenge for the realtor is having back-to-back closings. And when you have a back-to-back closing, if you're using a different lender on one side and another lender on the other side, that's where things can get a little tricky because you still have to have that three-day estimate that's out there.
Well, gentlemen, how are you going to handle that, you know, Jones to Smith, Smith to Williams on that domino thing that happens? How do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I mean, it depends on where we fall in the process, right? Like, so if our borrowers are going to be squared away, and they're going to have the money cleared to close the day they're supposed to have it, the funds will be transferred on time. So our clients are going to be well set up. I think when you're talking about these daisy chain closings, and I've done them. I actually did three in one day, believe it or not. It was back-to-back-to-back, and it was a nightmare. And we had, like, at 4:40, we're getting the, you know, Fed funds windows closing, and we're getting the funds wired, and it was a challenge. But again, you know, a couple, actually, to be fair, one of those was a cash buyer, the one in the middle, so it worked out well. So that kind of alleviated the stress on both ends of the dial. But again, it goes with who you're working with, the title companies you're working with, the attorneys you're working with, how cooperative they are. The mortgage companies, obviously, is huge. And if you can't rely on the funds being in the settlement agent's possession when it's time to close, you have a problem. And frankly, like I said before, you know, every change brings opportunity. And this is an opportunity where people are going to distinguish themselves, and some people are going to be kind of shown as lacking. And the shame of it is that it's, in those cases, it's going to hurt the consumer. You're going to have people who are going to be disappointed. You're going to have, you know, the clients of maybe TAFAs or other attorneys that are kind of struggle or miss their date or have to spend the night in a hotel when they want to get into their new home. I mean, that's a lot of stress. And this, as we said before, is a stressful event. And you want to de-stress it as much as possible. And there are things you can control, things you can't. We try to control all those that we can and make it as really as pleasant a possible a situation for the borrower.
And that's why it's so important to have really strong relationships with the team. And when I say the team, it's everyone that's involved before you get to the closing table.
Well, it's about communication, because
it's always about communication.
Stated that it's a lender issue, but I think it's a nice opportunity for the lenders to tell the realtors, hey, listen, folks, stay on top of your borrowers, and if it's not me, it's someone else. Look, the borrowers don't know about this. Well, they need to be consistently and continually told that they have some increased standing, so to speak. They have a bigger say. Hey, where's my information? So it might mean that any lender needs to tell the realtors, keep your clients more informed than before.
Absolutely. Every realtor should understand this. They should know the forms, they should know the changes, and they should have absolute communication at all times.
This is a consumer issue, of course, and what good is a bunch of rights if you don't know you have them?
Right.
And there is, Scott, just to jump in, there's a lot of misinformation and kind of fear that's gone out among real estate offices. I go around and I give a seminar on the TRID changes to real estate offices, and the agents all come in and we have coffee and bagels and
donuts too.
And,
donuts.
You know what? Honestly, we haven't had donuts yet. Bagels are more kind of the the food of choice. But
I like donuts.
So I would prefer that. But you know, there's a lot of fear and a lot of misinformation where I've sat in seminars and the realtor's raising their hand right away and they say, we're told 75-day closings now is the only thing we can do. And I say, okay, first of all, who told you that? Well, some broker at some meeting somewhere told me that. Oh, okay, what was the foundation for that?
Well, I can tell you where the foundation comes from.
Sure.
Because the fear is that if there's any change in the transaction, that everything has to start all over again.
Correct. And that's the misinformation, right? That's
right.
Where people don't know. This reminds me of Y2K.
1999 Y2K,
where the whole world thought everything was going to stop. Well, this is kind of related to the real estate world. So in our world, this is kind of like our mini Y2K. Personally, I think it's going to be a much ado about nothing if people are prepared and communicate as we've talked and get on board with the right team.
And we still have Tatha on the line. Tatha, are you still with us, right?
I am, yes.
Do you have anything else to contribute?
No, I what I was basically just saying there is to add to that is the fear comes from lack of information and lack of comprehension of what really this means and, you know, how people are going to be able to work within the system.
Tatha, hold that thought because we are going to break. If there's anyone else who would like to jump into the conversation, we are talking about TRID, we're talking about RESPA, we're talking about the new changes in the mortgage industry. You can reach us at 914-693-5700. Tatha, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
Since opening up in January 2007, OnTrack Sports Center has facilitated sports training and competitive programs for athletes throughout Westchester and Rockland, supplying 2 turf fields and 2 batting cages. In their 26,000-square-foot facility, conveniently located next to the Terrytown train station, OnTrack Sports has been selected by the New York Red Bulls to host their regional development school. Call 914-909-2974 to find out more about OnTrack's team training, sports instruction, recreation, and competitive programs. That's 914-909-2974.
Get total freedom in your life safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working till you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, an investor in thousands of units over the years. Now it's your turn. Del Wamsley has been my mentor for nearly 25 years, and he's taught over 100,000 people just like you the principles of financial freedom through live one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited and his national radio show. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that changed my life. The workshop gets you on the inside of what we do and what we believe and unlocks the five ways we make money in real estate. Just like your personal trainer, Lifestyles Unlimited will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to fiveWaysWeMakeMoney.com. That's fiveWaysWeMakeMoney.com to register for the workshop that will change your life and let you stop worrying about working till you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
And we're back. Tatha, are you still with us?
I am. I'm still here.
Tatha, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Thanks for staying on with us.
No problem.
Anything you want to add to this? I know we stopped you before we went to break.
What I was basically saying was just the lack of information. I shouldn't say lack of information so much as it is the lack of the industry and the people in the industry getting out there to educate themselves about this topic and understanding really what their role is in the process and taking it serious and knowing what the rules are and what the changes are and what the effects are, instead of, you know, having huge panic in the industry. If they just spend the time to get out there and get informed, then know what their client needs to do.
We're in agreement of that. The closing doc actually can be modified at the closing table. So a lot of people are thinking that it cannot. There's only a few things that cannot be modified. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, actually, and the irony is everyone thinks, oh, there's these big changes. The law as it stands now is if you change the APR by either a quarter or an eighth the point, depending on what kind of loan program you're in, you already have to do a three-day redisclosure already. That's the law. And so this, you know, everyone's making a lot of noise about the fact that, well, if you change the APR, we're going to have to go through this process. That already exists. I think that it's, again, like you said, Taff, a little misinformation out there, a lack of understanding the process. And I just think preparation is key, you know, being able to communicate to your client, being able to have as much involvement in the process by the parties who are really crucial to the closing will alleviate a lot of that.
Now, Chris, you mentioned an eighth of a point and then a quarter of a point.
In that's the APR, that's correct.
Okay, so it's one is for fixed and one is for adjusted rate, right? Can you explain that a little bit better?
Well, sure. So, like, if you have a fixed rate loan and when you first initiate it and they tell you your rate's going to be 4%, and then you go and you say at closing, oh, it's 4.25%. But like, wait a minute, my loan value changed. Well, that requires a redisclosure. It's a quarter of a point different in the program. And, you know, same thing. It's just a different loan product. So a variable rate is obviously if you have a fixed rate for either 3, 5, 7 years, and then it'll alter. It can adjust every year after that for a variable rate product. So these laws and rules were already in effect, and they really, frankly, in my opinion, it's much ado about nothing because we have to deal with them already.
To add to that, we've already had like the items that can't change. We've already had the 10% category of things that can fluctuate, you know, a maximum of up to 10% over what was disclosed. And then we've still got the areas that can change. And those are all still staying in place as well. So it's not as though nothing can ever change at the closing table. There are still categories of what can and what, you know, what can move and what can't.
Right. I agree, Tatha. Those are the, you know, the real intricacies. That's where professionals like you come in. But there's I think the response from lenders could be really a nice, I don't want to say marketing, but a nice outreach that the lenders could take by staying relevant with their local real estate community and the realtors, and maybe see if they could enlist the assistance of local agents to reach these consumers. So I think that no agent who's really worth their salt would mind getting more and more conversant with this, and as a way of being valuable to their client, would also assist the lender to demonstrate the need to make them aware of what their rights. And for, I'm going to ask Michael and Alex what they think what could be done to possibly provide that value to realtors.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, just and Taff, I think you brought up this point is, you know, like you know, as far as misinformation, you know, if we can get ahead of this and be a little proactive, because I think, you know, as Chris mentioned, there's people saying it's going to take 75 days to close a deal, is really false, because if you're proactive, you know, with this, as far as getting the information out to the realtors and the consumers, as far as how that process works, you know, you should be able to alleviate that. So, you know, what we like to do is, like Chris said, is we'll go out and we'll do, you know, seminars, lunch and learns for our real estate partners, you know, whether it's our realtors, our attorneys, and just getting that information out there. We put a lot of stuff. If you go into movement.com, you'll see a lot of videos and everything for the consumer and for our business partners that will put that information out there. And really just, like, you know, talk a little bit more about, expand on what we went through as far as what the process really entails. You know, also, I think the most important thing is, you know, we live in a day of communication, you know, so why not use the tools that we have. So, you know, even for us, when you submit a loan, whether regardless of the loan, is we take all the information so we know who the realtors are on both sides, who the attorneys are on both sides, homeowners insurance companies, title companies. So we keep everybody in communication every step of the process, because, right, we can't be naive to think that there's never going to be an issue or not a problem's going to come up. But the problem is, in most cases, when a problem comes up and it's delayed as far as what the reaction time is to get to it. So I think our, you know, is, again, if it's going to be, you know, bad news, I'd want to get it up front so we have a time to adjust it, you know, before the closing time expires.
Right. So I think Mike nailed it on the head. I mean, communication is key. And, you know, at Movement Mortgage, we've been practicing, you know, communicating to the realtors, like you said, by doing seminars, you know, doing presentations regarding TRID. But, you know, in a purchase, we know that there are a lot of variables involved. We know there are a lot of people involved when it comes to a purchase. You could be, you know, an outstanding lending institution, but if the realtor's not getting you the earnest money deposit on time, that slows things up. If the attorney's not ordering the title on time, that slows things up. So, you know, when we get to the point where we want to reach having a, you know, disclosures 3 days before closing, communication will be key. And right now, one of the things that we do is immediately at time of application, we're already reaching out to either the settlement agent or the attorney, asking them for, you know, well, basically providing them our information so they know where to contact us when the title work is done. So that's being done ahead of time, so they have that information. But communicating to the buyer the contact information that we need is critical at the moment that we're submitting the application. This way, we're already reaching out in an early stage. Communicating to the realtors the importance of getting escrow letters to us, the importance of getting, you know, the earnest money deposit checks ahead of time, the importance of, you know, getting your smoke certification prepared and not saying, oh, I forgot to get that smoke shirt, let me go get it at this point. You know, having all these things, communicating them in the early stage will allow us to make sure that package is clear to close and we're able to meet the time frame that's required. I really don't think it's that difficult. If we're able to close a loan in 30 days, it should be that difficult to have everything prepared in 27 days and close it on the 30th day.
Well said. I have a question for you. I'm going to take you a little bit off of the topic that we're on now. Let's talk a little bit about the new loan estimate. It requires that the estimates are a lot more accurate than they were before. What happens if they're not? Are there penalties in place? What happens? What is the CFPB doing?
Everyone's looking at me.
Well, you're the attorney here.
Sure, there are penalties. The CFPB will obviously enforce this, and there will be monetary fines for any lending institution that's violating these these new regulations. But even I use the term new regulations loosely because they're already the same regulations. They've just kind of, in my opinion, the way I kind of describe it, is they've tightened them up. They made them a little more common sense and made it a little bit more easy, made it easier to understand for the average consumer. So, there's going to be penalties in place. And my guess is that the CFPB will take the approach with non-compliant institutions that they'll, you know, go in and do audits, and they will be then warned by virtue of letters. And then I think fines are kind of a step of last resort. I mean, I think the industry doesn't want to start going down that path right away. But I think it's the appropriate response for firms that are non-compliant and refuse to kind of get on board with the new regulations. I think that's really important. And at the end of the day, like I said, my first comment right at the beginning, it's better for the consumer. And at the end of the day, that's the mission of the CFPB.
Absolutely.
And that's who we're here to serve. You know, we're a mortgage company. We give people loans. We, you know, as an attorney, I help people buy and sell their homes. And as a mortgage loan officer, I help people get mortgages so they can buy the house that they want to buy.
Absolutely.
And that's the bottom line.
It's what it's all about.
Yep.
Right.
I'm just curious, Chris, on a loan that there was a fine, what happens to those people living in the house, sleeping in those bedrooms? The loan is still in place? You didn't say anything about that. The loan is still in place, it's just that the lender gets a fine?
Well, I mean, we're talking very hypothetical here, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know the
I'm just worried,
you know,
what
was the subject of the fine?
Well, I don't know, but Ma and Pa Kettle are sleeping there tonight, so now what happens to ABC Mortgage?
Well, Mom and Pa Kettle are not going to be kicked out of their house as a result of that. I'm sure that's not going to be the case, Scott.
Okay.
I mean, but if there's
egregious,
a...
Is it?
But
you know,
the borrower's not going to pay the penalty. The mortgage company will pay the penalty. So in the event something like that happens, the borrowers are not going to be punished by virtue of that. Now, my guess is some enterprising attorney will make a lawsuit happen and collect up some group of borrowers who have been wronged by ABC, and I hope there is not an ABC mortgage company, but ABC mortgage company, or else I'll get sued, right? I mean, and they'll have a class action lawsuit, and then remuneration will be achieved that way for that borrower who's been wronged. But there are certain, you know, procedures and actions available to CFPB. Fining and censure is probably the extent of it. I think actually there may even be criminal penalties available to the CFPB, if I remember their original mission correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hold me to that, but I believe they also have the power to enforce criminal sections.
Through respective attorneys general,
right.
I think.
I would assume so, you know. But
okay. So I'm really happy to tell you that Tatha is still on the call with us, and she's a woman, and I am in
warrior.
This man cave, so I want to go back to Tatha. Tatha, you're still with us, right?
I am. Yeah, I didn't want to leave you alone, Victoria.
So much. I really appreciate it. Tatha, anything else to add?
No. I mean, I think you guys have covered it pretty well. You know, the importance of relationships. You know personally how I have my office set up. We have a family of services where I, as an attorney, have my own title company. I work with there's a real estate company in my office. There's a financial planner, an accountant. You know, two title companies and a mortgage broker. I can't impress upon people, you know, anymore that how important it is to have your team of service, you know, family service members that you're affiliated with, that you know can get these transactions done and that you can refer people to because you know that they're getting the job done right.
Absolutely. We all agree it's all about the relationships and the communication. Scott, what else do you have to add to this today? Not so scary anymore, right?
No, but I see some questions real quickly on the Twitter feed. Tim, you want to read them? I can't read without my glasses anyway.
Becky is asking, for multifamily mortgages, 5 units or plus, should I focus on a 25% down? I'm going to repeat that.
Well, that's basically a commercial
loan. Anything above 4 units is you really have to look at commercial lending and what, you know, the requirements are. You know, a 1-4 family, residential.
And what's the
same? Anything above that is commercial.
That was it.
Well, that was it. Thanks. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Becky from wherever. Yeah, the Twitter feed.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so, Scott, how do we reach you?
You reach me on Scott, S. Forcino, F-O-R-C-I-N-O, at exitrealtygroup.com. Or my office number is 914-909-9100. Want me to mention the grand opening?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're really fortunate that you have the opportunity to mention our Exit Realty Group's grand opening. We're 75 North Central Avenue in Elmsford, and the grand opening is on September 24th at the Knollwood Country Club at 9 in the morning. And we're going to have some fun in the day and the night that night.
Awesome. Michael, how do we reach you?
Hi, I'm the best way. I mean, first I would like to say thank you for having us on as guests today. We, you know, we appreciate talking about the topic. Go to movement.com, check out the company, Google, YouTube, movement.com, and you'll get all your information.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us at the Real Estate Revolution. We look forward to seeing you next week.